My message this morning, how far are you prepared to trust God? How far are you prepared to trust God? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the living Word of God, the truth that sets us free when it's anointed by the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you come now and you speak to everyone within the sound of my voice, that no one leave this church, this building today, without being transformed by your word through your spirit. Lord, I acknowledge you. I got this from you on my knees, and I pray, Lord, that it go directly to the heart. Sanctify me that I preach it in your holiness. Amen. I want you to turn to the book of Malachi and just leave it open, if you will, please. The last book in the Old Testament. If you leave that open on your lap, I'm going to be referring to Malachi, the first chapter especially, the first chapter of Malachi. Amen. How far are you prepared to trust God? In prayer recently, I put this question to the Lord. Lord, how far can I go in trusting you with every single detail of my life? How involved, Lord, do you want to be in all my decision making? My question to him was, Lord, are you ready to give me direction and answer for everything I submit to you? Are you looking from me? Are you looking for that kind of relationship that I can take absolutely everything, every problem, every decision to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, and get an answer? And I'll tell you, my friends, the scriptures answer that question loud and clear. There can be no mistake about it, no compromise with this truth. It is all through the Word of God. Not only does God desire to be involved in every act and every detail of our life, He will have it no other way. He will have it no other way. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, consult Him, go to Him, and He will direct your path. Jeremiah 9:23, God says, let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now what that means is simply this. If you're going to say that you know the Lord, God says, make sure you know me in the way I want to be known. I want you to know me that I take pleasure in exercising or getting involved in loving kindness, judgment. The word judgment here is final decision in all things. The word judgment there in Hebrew is final decision in all things. God says, I take delight when you trust me with every decision in your life. That is my delight. See, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But this is faith, in trusting Him with every single decision, every detail in our lives. He said, if you're going to boast that you know me in this way, that I take pleasure in taking control of your life. I get my pleasure from that. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. That word perfect means fully dependent. God says, I search the earth for those children of mine who are fully dependent on my mind, on my direction, not making their own choices, not going their own way. Now, this was given by the prophet Hanani to Asa. King Asa had sought the Lord for all directions. It came a situation in his life, a crisis, when Israel was attacking. And rather than go to God and consult Him, he strictly made his own mind up, consulted nobody, a few of his princes, and they decided to bribe the Syrians to come down and fight Israel. And Israel was attacked from the north, and Israel left off attacking Asa and Judah. And this is the rebuke of prophet Hanani to King Asa. He said, what he's saying in essence, God had a plan. You didn't have to go to the heathen. You didn't have to make up your own mind. God had a plan. Because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are fully dependent on him. If you had depended on the Lord, if you'd gone to the Lord and consulted him, he would have made a way. But now because you've chosen your own way, you're going to have the wars and confusion the rest of your life. And folks, when you go your own way, make your own choices, it leads to war. War in your home, war in your family, war on the job, war in your career, everywhere, your business, because you did not consult the Lord in all things. The psalmist said, God looks down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord beholds the earth. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And here's what it means. It means God looks down and he beholds the earth and his eyes are on us. He's absolutely involved in our lives. And when it says he looks down from the heights, his eyes are upon us, means there's nothing escapes his attention. Nothing. I'm telling you that God is involved in your life, whether you know it or not. He has been involved from the very beginning. The Bible said he's acquainted with all our ways. He's acquainted. Scripture says he knows it when we sit down. He knows when we rise up. The Bible said he understands every thought afar off. He compasses our path. It means he takes notice of every detail of our daily life. There is not a word in your tongue that the Lord knows it. He knows it altogether, the Scripture says. Thou hast beset me, surrounded me, behind and before. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot even attain to it. Well, I want to tell you something. Before you were born, God was involved with you. He numbered your parts when you were in your mother's womb. He absolutely numbered. He knows every cell in your body. Bible said he counted every hair that you were going to have. You didn't have any when you came out of the womb, but he numbered every hair you'd have to this very day. He was involved. He has been involved from the foundation of the world in every detail of our lives. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. My days have been ordained for me, when as yet there had not been any of them. In other words, God said, I've chosen your path. I know all about you before you were born. Amazing. Now let me tell you what all this means to me. God's been dealing with me about this very powerfully. This says to me, God has the time. God has the desire. He has the power to make all my decisions. And if I will go all the way trusting him in everything, laying every care upon him, consulting him for direction on every matter in my life, in my home, on my job, my ministry, everything, I consult the Lord and trust him, he will take over full management of my life and ministry. He'll take over the full management. Now this has everything to do with the scripture in Romans 12:1, a very familiar scripture. Scripture that says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this sacrifice, and I want to show this to you this morning, this sacrifice that Paul is talking about has everything to do with going all the way with the Lord and trusting him with every decision in your life. Now remember, it's not just a living sacrifice. It has to be holy and has to be acceptable unto God. Now many people go to the Lord and say, Lord, I give you my life. I sacrifice. I lay my life down. Now folks, it's not just talking about becoming a martyr. It's not talking simply about being willing to burn out for Jesus. It goes much deeper than that. I'm talking now to those of you in this congregation, those who are hearing me, who want to go all the way with the Lord. You're tired of making mistakes. You're tired of all the turmoil that goes with things going wrong and disorder in your home or your wife or your life and your job. Listen very, very closely about this matter, presenting your body as a living, acceptable sacrifice unto God. Acceptable holy sacrifice simply means this: giving full control of your life and future into the hands of the Lord, giving up all management. Folks, when the sacrifice was laid on the altar, It lost all control of its destiny. There was no more control of the destiny. Nothing. All decisions were in the hands of the high priest from that moment on. The consuming of the sacrifice, everything. The lamb had no choice in it whatsoever. But you see, if I come to him and just give him my body, I'm giving him less than $1 worth of elements. The body's made up with mostly water. But if you count, if you literally want to know the actual value of this human being, David Wilkerson's elements are worth less than a dollar. In fact, they say, I think, 93 cents now. So I'm going to give him 93 cents worth of value. No, that's not where the value is. Because, see, in this body, there's a computer. It's right up here. It's a little mass of flesh. Into this little mass of flesh is where the will is. And we put into that little computer our calculations. We calculate the risk when we make a decision, the consequences, our desires, how it will affect us, how it will affect other people. We put all of these things, all the decisions that are in our life, we put them in this computer. And we, out of that computer, out of that mind, this priceless mind, this is the only thing of value. This is where the heart is, where the will is. And what we do when we come to the Lord, we come to Him. You see, this little computer of mine doesn't want to give up control. That's the flesh. That's where the will is, self-will. And it's so used to making every decision, consulting nobody. Doing, every man doing what is best for himself. This little computer is controlled by the flesh, by the carnal mind, where the conscience is, and it is often shut off by this little computer. And we want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I entrust my future to you, eternal salvation. I trust forgiveness of my sins. I trust you to bring me to paradise and live eternally with you. I trust all my eternal future in your hands. But as far as giving you my computer, I can't do it. I can't give you full control of my life. And so we go through the fleshly motion of saying, I surrender, Lord. I yield my body unto you. I give you everything. Oh, yes, we give him our pledge. We give him our promises, but we don't give him our computer. We don't give him our mind. We don't let the mind of Christ take over. We don't let what Paul said, Christ in me, living in me, making my decisions. You know, I for years I tried to figure out what the Bible means. If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And I looked at books, studied books. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Folks, it's very, very simple. The Holy Ghost lives in you. Obey Him. Listen to Him. Let Him direct you. Let Him make the decisions, because He is the very living Spirit of Christ in you. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about asking the Holy Ghost what kind of cereal you're going to eat, and what dress you're going to wear today and suit. But even I have to even back up on that a bit. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, about a year ago I was very, very sick with colitis, and I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I can't even pass this church if this goes on. I am literally being wiped out by this. And I've told you this, that I went to the Lord and He dealt with me about getting rid of sugar and watching my diet and things that I eat, and got me on a Holy Ghost, started me on my own nutritional program with barley greens and everything else, and there was healing, and I am stronger than I've ever been, even when I was 30 years old. Because I turned it over to the Holy Ghost. I turned it over to the Lord, said, this is your problem. I'm going to obey you. And folks, when it comes to dress in the morning, I had a preacher's wife say, she and her husband talked to me. We ought to eat. And she said, Pastor Dave, every time I get and go to church, I look in the mirror and I say, Holy Ghost, Are you pleased? Am I bringing attention to my flesh? Is this sensual or is this godly? Is this the length of my dress or am I showing off my body so that someone would be tempted? Yes, those decisions have to go into the hands of the Lord too. Some this morning need to... Some here this morning should have prayed about it before you came. Are you in Malachi? In Malachi, God is looking down from his height and he sees something in the priest that angered him. Israel's priests had defiled the altar of the Lord by offering polluted sacrifices. Malachi 1:7. O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye have offered polluted bread upon my altar. Verse 8. And if ye offer the blind and for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Now listen to me, folks. In Leviticus, the 21st chapter, verse 6, 8, and 12, don't turn there, but the sacrificial lamb was called the bread of God. That was the food of God. Folks, we become the bread of God. When we are absolute sacrifice. Now, folks, I'm only talking to people this morning that are not satisfied to live a half-hearted life for Christ. Not satisfied to live carnally for yourself. I'm talking for people who have an urge to see in their heart, I want to give my life completely to the Lord. You see, we've made so few demands anymore. We have such a lazy Christianity today. That Jesus said the way is narrow and few that find it. But we have a superhighway Christianity now. We have widened the streets and the borders. And that's what they call now the seeker-friendly church. We have a gospel of accommodation to accommodate people. And we are what they're doing, making a super wide highway to heaven. And it's not headed toward heaven. The Bible said, wide is the road that's headed for destruction. And there are so few demands made on us now. But there is a demand being made in these last days, I believe, before Jesus comes. There's going to have to be a Christianity evolve in the true church of Jesus Christ, whereby the holy remnant begins to cry out, say, I am not satisfied with the life where I sit around like a couch potato watching television. I am not satisfied that my family is spinning out into disorder. There's got to be some reason. Lord, I'm not satisfied to just go to church and get a little blessing. There has to be something rise up with the Holy Ghost and, Lord, I want you to control my life. Evidently, there's something missing in my consecration. There's something missing in my living sacrifice to you. Now, what was this polluted bread that they were offering, this unacceptable sacrifice? Because I wonder if some of us here this morning believe that you've made a living sacrifice to the Lord, but it has been a polluted sacrifice and it's not acceptable unto the Lord. Now, that's strong language, but these are perilous times, and I believe Jesus is coming. Now, I know that we lose a lot of people in this church that come to visit, and they hear the message and it's too strong for them, and they go to something a little more palatable. And we probably have a list of churches where we could recommend. And I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm telling you, folks, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ one day. To me, this is not a job. I'm not here making money. I'm here to tell you what the Holy Ghost is saying about how we should live in this last day. I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart. What is this polluted sacrifice? The first thing comes to mind, well, the priests are living in sin, in adultery, in fornication, and then they're coming into the house of God with dirty hands. Oh, folks, it goes much further than that. It's even more wicked. That's part of it, but it's even more wicked than that in the eyes of God. Ye priests despise my name. Now, they didn't understand that when Malachi came in with this rebuke from the Holy Ghost. What do you mean we despise his name? Because you see, they couldn't understand, because they were going through the religious form. They were sacrificing. They were lighting the lanterns. They were going through the whole service of the temple. And here comes a prophet saying, nothing you do is acceptable. God doesn't even look at it. It's all in vain. And they said, what do you mean we're despising it? We're making sacrifices. We're worshiping the Lord. Now, folks, this is very serious, because there are many, many churches in the United States that I believe God doesn't even look at. He doesn't even visit them. And I can show that to you if you're in just a moment. What the Lord is trying to say to them and to us, you refuse to submit to the absolute authority of the Lord. You have never surrendered to his total, complete lordship. He said, if I'm your father, where's my honor? If I'm your master, your Lord, where's my fear? They had rejected absolute surrender to the leading of Almighty God, whereby he could have spoken by the prophets and by his Spirit to what they were doing. They were going out, and rather than getting a perfect lamb, the best of the flock, they were taking one with three legs or diseased and ready to die and throwing it on the altar haphazardly. They were not serious about the things of God. When the Lord began to move in me to prophesy to this nation about what is coming to America, I've been a year on my face. And I thought I was serious about the things of God. But the Lord named a whole list of things that I had to change in my life. Things that you might laugh about, that you may allow in your life. Because we're allowing so many things now. You allow yourself, do you, and your children to sit and watch some of these new children's cartoons that nothing but murder and occult? I can't even watch the TV news now. Because if I sit and watch TV news, I'm going to be watching Seinfeld, where there's nothing but laughter and mockery at moral standards. And I'm going to get hooked again on these things. So the Lord makes it very, very clear that there are things that are changing. If you're going to get serious about God, if you're getting serious about God answering your prayer, and you want your family saved before Jesus comes, there are going to be some changes made. You're going to get serious about God. You're going to get serious about walking with the Lord. He said, a father is the one who is in control. You call me your father, why am I not in control of your life? Why are you doing things your own way? Why are you doing what a father is supposed to do in your life? If I'm your Lord, where's my lordship? Why are you not submitting to my lordship? Now, I'm instructed by the Apostle Paul to go to the altar and give my body to the Lord as a sacrifice that would be acceptable in his eyes. An acceptable sacrifice unto him. Paul said, yield yourselves unto God as those alive from the dead, members as instruments of righteousness to God. And the word yielding there means simply let go. Let go. Let God have it. Let go of your control. Every day in prayer, I bring this to the Lord. This is a strong argument I bring to the Lord every day I pray, every day. This morning, every day this past week, every day this past month. Lord Jesus, you said that you did nothing when you walked this earth without the Father. You said nothing, you did nothing but what you saw and heard from your Father. Lord, I am a weak, ignorant man. If Jesus, the very Son of God, could do nothing without seeing and hearing from his Father moment by moment, how dare I think I can? So I say, Lord, I stand boldly before your throne saying, I'm going to take a step I'm going to go as far as I can. I don't care how anybody else lives. I don't care what anybody else says. You said if I acknowledge you in all my ways, you'll direct my path. Are you willing to take that kind of step of faith? How far are you willing to go to trust God? In Proverbs 15:22, we read, in the multitude of counselors, purposes are established. In the multitude of counselors, your way or your purpose is established. Now that sounds like, well, wait a minute, Brother David. I know someone would think about that. In many counselors, there's wisdom. You just meet, you have a committee meeting, do what the committee says. But I want to tell you something, folks. If you read the rest of the Bible, that is a sin session. Unless every man, every counselor in that room has been on their face before God, fully trusting the Lord that corporately they get the mind of Christ and are doing what He has directed. Let me explain that to you. In Acts the 13th chapter, there were many counselors, many men of God that met in Antioch planning the future of the church. They ministered to the Lord, they fasted, and then the Holy Ghost said. They didn't strategize. They didn't say, well, here's what I think. They all got on their knees, they fasted, they prayed, and suddenly God spoke to them. They got their direction. In the upper room, there are 120 counselors. These are godly people. These are people who know the Word. These are people that would have good wisdom. And when Judas is to be replaced by another disciple, apostle, they didn't vote. The Scripture makes it very, very clear. They prayed and said, O Lord, Thou knowest the hearts of all men. You show us who to choose. Folks, that's the way this church is run. It's run through prayer and faith in the Holy Ghost that He will speak to us. We do have ministers' meeting in this church, but it's a prayer meeting, where we try to get the mind of God and we pray separately and pray until we get the mind of Christ. We get the mind of God on our decisions. Hallelujah. So far, it's been working fairly well. God told the priest, now listen closely. Now, God told the priest, if you cannot give me an acceptable offering, shut it all down. I want you to see verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Now, folks, let me tell you what the best original rendition is. In fact, a number of the originals, manuscripts, voice it this way. Listen closely. All that there were among you that would shut the doors, that you may not kindle a fire on my altar in vain. All that there was somebody that would understand that God's not going to accept an offering that is polluted, that is not a full surrender. He's not going to accept it. He said, if you're going to be haphazard, if you're not going to give me everything, if you want to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto me, then you're going to yield control of your body, your mind, your spirit, everything. You're going to turn all your decision-making over to Him. You're going to go to Him at all times. Folks, it doesn't mean you have to wait for an hour or two. Often, you just, wherever you're at, Holy Spirit, what is your mind? Tell me, Lord, what is your will? I do that now, God helping me in every decision I make. Lord, what is your mind? But folks, that's backed up by having time alone with Jesus in the secret closet, where I'm saying, Lord, if you don't give me that direction, I'm going to wait until I receive it. And just about, I don't care if it's a businessman, he comes to me and he wants a decision. I don't care if he's Jewish, I don't care if he's an atheist. I say, I'll pray about it. I have to talk to God about it. And the Lord is saying, I am not going to accept a partial sacrifice, a lame, diseased sacrifice. I won't take it. I won't have it. He said, it's better to shut it down. Just shut it down. I don't want anything on that altar. I would rather the door of the temple be shut than for you to believe that I would accept any offering from you that was not wholehearted, any offering from you in which I was not, where you gave up full control and your destiny, total destiny, was placed into my hands. Now, folks, I've told the Lord, I don't want to put a burden on this congregation or anyone who hears me that is overburdened and not according to the mind of Christ, the mind of the Holy Spirit. I told you, I'm talking. For some of you say, you're setting something now, Pastor Dave, that's impossible. Now, I told you that I'm only speaking to those this morning who say, Lord, I want to go all the way. There is more. I'm not satisfied because I'll tell you what, until you make this living sacrifice, you'll never know real peace. You will never know divine order in your home, in your life, in your job. You won't know it. It doesn't come any other way. It does not come any other way. The favor of God comes to only those who say, God, I want to surrender everything I am, all I have. I give it to you. I want you to live in me and direct my life. See, all of this is for our teaching, for our instruction. It's for us in the last days. He's saying, if you're prepared to give me full control, I'll lead you in all your ways. But if you're not prepared to trust your whole life, your walk with me into my care, unless you are prepared to allow me to live in you and lead you, I cannot accept anything less than a full surrender of your will. Your will has to be given to me completely. God said, I have no pleasure in you. Then he adds these words, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name. This is verse 11. A pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. And what he's telling the people and all the priests, he said, look, you think that there'll be nobody left if you're not accepted with your kind of offering. But the Lord says, no, I've got people all over the world, right through to the end time, that are going to give me a pure offering, a holy offering. I'm going to have the people. And folks, he's going to have it in New York. He's going to have it. I don't care where you're visiting from. God may put a fire in your soul this morning. He is going to have a people that are living sacrifices and testimony to the world that you can live Christ, whereby he makes every decision in your life. Every single decision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, God calls it rebellion when his children follow their own counsel and make up their own minds without consulting him. Woe to the rebellious children. This is Isaiah 30, verse 12. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. They go down to Egypt. They've not asked at my mouth. They go down to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Listen, all through the Bible, I find that God is simply trying to get it too plain and simple. Look, don't go to people. There's nothing wrong with counseling. But folks, there's an amazing, incredible thing that's happened in these last days. I can't wait. I've got to get into it right now. In 1 Chronicles 10, we read these fearful words. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord. Saul died because of a transgression. Now, what was that transgression that cost him his life? Now, folks, this is strong stuff, but I want you to listen to it. The transgression, this is 1 Chronicles 10th chapter, verse 13, 14. The transgression was even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for taking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him. He didn't inquire of the Lord. He didn't consult with the Lord. He didn't say, God, what would you have? No, he said, God isn't talking to me anymore. But he was not talking to God. He was not consulting God at all for years. He had forsaken the Lord's counsel. Now, folks, that's heavy. That's strong. You say, that's not New Testament. Oh, folks, it is. case after case in the Word of God, you find that the more people backslide, the further they get away from God, the less they want to go into His presence. I want to tell you something. Anyone with hidden sin does not want to pray. They don't want to consult the Lord. And I'll tell you why. Because they know intuitively that their sin will not stand in His holiness. Cannot endure the glare of His utter holiness. So they stay away from the secret closet. They don't seek the Lord. They don't counsel with Him. In fact, that's why these priests were now into an occult practice. Now, it's very, very clear. The Scripture makes it all clear all through. You no longer listen to the Lord. My people ask counsel at their wooden idols, and their diviners now give them advice. Their diviners. Now, if you study the time frame Malachi speaking about, the priest and the Israelite at that time would go to these false prophets. They would take two sticks and put them lightly in the ground, and they would mutter incantations. And the direction that they fell, supposedly under demon influence, would give them the direction, either east, west, north, south. And also, they would throw little rods and sticks in different directions. And as they fell, in fact, the name for it is called rhabdomancy. Rhabdomancy is the divining through sticks and rods. And here are people that have had the oracles of God. Here are people called by His name. And now, because they are so far from God, because sin has so controlled their life, they get no direction except from stupid, silly sticks. Now, today we have what is called bibliomancy. And this is taking Scripture verses as if they're magic by repeating them. Bibliomancy also includes the same kind of offering to the Lord. Here's a person who does not pray, who does not get direction from the Lord because he's not in touch with the Lord. He doesn't consult with the Lord. He has no time. It's time for everybody. Consult with everybody. Get on the phone. Call anybody. Call a pastor. Call a counselor. Call somebody. Get advice. But because they have no relationship with the Lord, they're not hearing His word. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. They hear when I call. Another voice they will not listen to. They will not heed it." And because they have no inner voice from the Holy Ghost, because they have no direction in their life, because they're not praying, they fall into this occultic, charismatic practice. And it's occultic, folks. And it's occultic because it is offering to the Lord a sacrifice that is polluted. It's a diseased sacrifice. It is trusting in the flesh of man. There's some evangelist, there's some prophet somewhere that's got a word for me. Someone handed me a tape this past week. A major crusade, a big evangelist and prophet, so-called, and he was giving words. And the words were something like this: "You're going to be given a ministry of compassion, and God's going to send you to China and work with children." Now, if God hadn't said that to that man, why in the world would he listen to somebody else? Especially if he's got a wife and two kids. Another says, "Within 2 or 3 months, you're going to get a name large sum of money." And some of the other words were, I sat there and cringed. I said, "Lord, those dear people that are sitting there, don't they know you? Don't they hear anything from you?" Now, folks, I want to show you the danger of running to somebody and have them lay hands on you or give you a word when you do not pray. And I want to tell you something. I know that many people are running around the world, all over the world, trying to get a word, trying to get a touch, involved in this occultic practice. Listen to me. Now, I'm not wiping the brush with everybody. No, there are many sincere, godly people who take a friend or something and they love the Lord, and they're just saying, "There may be more for me." I'm not wiping everybody with this brush. But all folks, listen to me. People who pray, people who get their word from God, they are being satisfied in the secret closet. They are hearing their word directly from the throne room of God. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to have anyone touch them. I believe in healing. I believe in the laying on of hands. But listen to me, folks. The prophet Malachi is speaking against this. In fact, he warns against placing yourself under the influence of ministers whose own sacrifice before the Lord is totally unacceptable. How do you know that the man has an acceptable sacrifice? Or how do you know whether or not God has shut it off and said, that's enough, I don't want anything to do with this ministry? It's all written right here. Let me read it to you here. We'll find it here in just a moment. Verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God, that He will be gracious unto us, that He may be, that this hath been by your means. Will He regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now, folks, look at me and listen closely, please. I've got to get this through to you. The original, in its fullest meaning, reads this way. Come, ask God's favor with your polluted sacrifices. Make intercession for the people, but will He accept you? Would He bless or accept anyone because of you? You know what he's saying? Go ahead and intercede for the people. Go ahead and lay hands on people. Go ahead and pray for people. But it's in vain. Because, sir, priest, your sacrifice has not been accepted. It's all there, folks. It's right there. Go ahead and intercede. Oh, folks, I've known. Got a letter from a pastor's wife. He just left her. And he's an associate of an evangelist who's had 11 illegitimate children. He's on his third wife. I have his tapes. He's preaching to crowds today. And she said, Pastor Dave, I don't understand. Lays hands on people, the supposed miracles. And she said, this man told my husband, doesn't matter how many wives you have at one time, how many women you have. And my husband bought it. And he's been laying with at least three women himself. And hundreds of people are coming having hands laid on them. Being prophesied over. Folks, judgment is at the door. It's a dangerous thing not to be shut in with God. It's a dangerous thing not to have discernment in this day. It's a dangerous thing to be tossed by every wind and wave of doctrine that's sweeping. Folks, those winds and waves are going to get stronger. They're coming from the left and the right, the north and the south. And the only thing that's going to stand in these last days are those people shut in with God, hearing His voice, knowing His voice, intimate with Him. And finally, you have said, behold, what a weariness it is, and you've snuffed at it. The word weariness there is trouble, and snuff means who needs it? In modern English, I mean, who needs it? And you know what he's saying? You said, it's too much trouble. Who needs it? It's too much trouble to pray every day. It's too much trouble. How can anybody? Folks, listen to me. There's a discipline involved in seeking God. We've been spoon-fed. We want everything in 5 minutes. Even our news, we want news bits. Folks, I'm going to tell you as a pastor, you will not make it in these last days until you come under this discipline. I seek the face of God, but it's a discipline. When I went to prayer in my room and shut the door yesterday, I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like it at all, but I knelt there and I walked around and said, Lord, I don't feel it, but I know I want to be in your presence. I know I love you. I'm just going to say, hallelujah, I love you till you come into this room and touch me. And folks, You stay in His presence and you'll strike fire. You stay in His presence and you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. I promise you He'll meet you. But there's a discipline. You shut everything away. You stop it. Folks, you've got time for everybody and everything else. You've got time for Jesus. And if you don't, you will not make it in these last days. You're going to fall into unbelief and despair. And you will be one of those who say, too much trouble. Who needs it? Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied thee? Testify against me. He said, come on, tell me. How in the world? All I have done is told you that I want to be involved in your life. All I've told you, if you'll turn over to me, I'll take your burden. If you cast all your care on me, I'll take it. You don't have to live confused anymore. You can live your life without fear or without bondage. And it's so simple. He's made it so simple. He said, I've been involved in you from the very beginning, even when you were a baby, a child. I've been involved. I know every move that you've made. I know every move you're going to make. He said, if you'll just turn it over to me, if you'll surrender everything to me and give me quality time, shut yourself in with me, I'll make my voice known to you. Now, folks, there is the Word of God. We live by the Word. We heard, order my steps by your Word. You go to this Word. You obey everything this Word tells you through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But folks, this Word is not going to... There are 1,000 decisions a day sometimes that you can't find here. You may find principles, but there are certain things. There's a building that our charities have that we have to sell because if we don't sell, it's going to be condemned. And I said, Lord, I turn it over. I don't know what to do. I said, but I'm going to trust you. I am not going to advertise that building. I'm not going to say a word to anybody. No sign on the door. If you want it sold, you're going to have somebody knock on the door and say, I want to buy it. The Lord told me to trust Him. He said, if you just leave it to me, I'll take care of it. He said, if you just stay in the secret closet, you seek my faith, I'll take care of your family. I'll take care of your finances. I'll take care of everything that you have to sell or buy. I'll take care of everything. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be taken care of. Well, I'll tell you something. That building's about to be sold. Because a man walked in. Not one man, but they're walking in 2 and 3 a day now. Within 2 weeks, that'll be gone. And the Lord told me in prayer, He said, David, because you trusted me in this, I'm going to bless you by making you very sensitive to my voice. Very sensitive. See, every time you obey and become more and more sensitive to His voice, He begins to speak. He'll tell you how to take care of your kids, your children. He'll tell you how to discipline them. He'll tell you everything you need to know. It's all that. How can anybody live like that? Well, folks, I'll tell you something. I'm setting out to prove to myself, my own heart, that's the way I want to live. I want to live that way. I'm going to make mistakes, but the Lord in His mercy will say, David, back up a little bit. You made a mistake. And there are going to be some consequences, but I'll see you out of it because I know you want to do what is right. The Lord will rule and overrule. Even if you make a mistake, He will overrule and bring glory to His name. Will you stand? Hallelujah. Did I wear some of you out? Don't you want a closer walk? I have a strange invitation the Holy Spirit just put in my heart while I'm standing here. This has to do with all our friends in the annex building, all the overflow. I say it to you lovingly, many of you there and here in the balcony, in the main auditorium, wherever you see and hear my voice. See, are watching now. My invitation, I never anticipated this. I'm just going to obey the Holy Spirit. I'm asking those that are here this morning that have a wounded spirit. I don't know where the wound came from, but it's troubled. You have a spirit that's wounded and troubled. The Lord wants to heal you today.
And as we sing, I want you to get out of your seat. Over in the annex, you go to the lobby, and the ushers will show you the door into this building. You come right down the stairs, and come down any aisle, meet me here at this altar. I'm going to pray this morning that the Lord will heal your spirit, heal your wound, and set you free. If you're backslidden, if you've been running from God, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, come with these that are coming right now. And let's believe the Lord now. I don't know if it's been a marriage problem. I don't know how the wound happened. Even your spirit troubled. Saying, Pastor David, some things I just don't understand that are happening in my life. I want you to come. Please move in close. Make room for those that are coming, please. You that have come forward that I preached to you this morning is not theory with me. It's something God's been helping me to live. It's something I believe in with all my heart. That the more you give Him of your life, the more control you put in His hands, the more pleased He is, the more pleasure He gets. That's faith. Where I believe with all my heart that I can commit everything I am, all I have, into His loving hands. Hallelujah. Some of you have a wounded heart and a wounded spirit. That's why you came down for prayer. I'm going to ask you to turn that over to Him right now. And listen to me, please. I want you all next week to spend no less than a half hour. You should be giving Him at least an hour of prayer a day. But no less than a half hour where you just go in His presence and worship Him. Lay everything in your heart before Him. Be honest. Just speak your heart and your mind to Him. But do it in faith. And then just sit in a chair and say, now, Lord, speak to me. I want to tell you something. You say, well, how am I going to know God's voice from the devil's voice? Listen, it's very simple. The devil will speak to you. And if you love Jesus, there'll just be something. There'll be something rise up. Wait a minute. You say, I'm not sure of this voice. Because the devil doesn't want to be questioned. And if you just wait, don't accept the voice right away. Just wait. The enemy will expose himself. I was praying yesterday about something, and I was sitting waiting. And at first, I said, Lord, I'm here to wait on you. And all of a sudden, I heard a direction that didn't sound right. It sounded too much like I wanted, something I wanted. If it's something like you want, be very careful. And I said, I just can't accept this. I said, Lord, just wait. And then came, you stupid, dumb creature. And my voice. The devil exposed himself. Because the Lord never called me dumb, stupid. He will always expose himself. If you wait, He will expose himself. God is that faithful. The Holy Ghost is that faithful. Because if you wait on Him, He's not going to write this in His book for every generation of all time and let you be deceived. If you are willing to do what He tells you and lay your desires and your will down, say, your will be done, Lord, I'll do anything you tell me. God will give you direction. Oh, the devil will come and try to put the... You just wait. Even if you wait 2 or 3 days until the Holy Spirit comes, that still small voice. He will never tell you anything that's contrary to this book. Sometimes what He tells you is going to be painful. First thing He's going to tell you, He said, I'm not going to talk to you about that yet. That thing you're asking me, but I'm not going to talk to you about it until I talk about that besetting sin that's in your heart. Let's talk about that. Then He's going to tell you how much He loves you and how much He's going to stand with you and how much He'll work with you when you are willing to lay it at His feet. You see, even victory over sin is a matter of faith. Trusting in His power. Greater is He in us than he that's in the world. You trust Him on that. It's a matter of sin. Oh, Lord, I can't fight it. I can't do it. I can't run my life anymore. I'm tired of it. I give it to You, Lord Jesus. But you see, that has to be backed up. There has to be backed up with a special time every day, quality time, where you go to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm in no hurry. I'm in no hurry. I'm here. And folks, don't get all wound up and scream at God and try to make something happen. Just sit quietly and love him and let him love you. Tell him how much you love him and worship him. And I'll tell you, it's amazing how if you just say, hallelujah, Jesus. Just keep saying hallelujah till it comes from the gut, from the innermost. And suddenly, it's like a fountain. A little bit of water, and then suddenly it's just flowing out. Then you'll start singing love songs to Jesus, and you'll just have a wonderful time in his presence. But he wants to heal your heart right now. But it's no use my praying for you right now until you have made a commitment. Lord, I want to give all that I am and all that I have to you. If that's your desire, raise your hand high, please. Raise your hand and leave it right there a moment while I pray. First, I want you to pray with me, and then I'm going to pray for you. Pray this with me. Jesus, I come to you with all my burdens, all my cares, and all my hurts. I surrender it to you. Lord, you have to solve it. You have to take care of it. I don't know how. I've been confused. My way has been perplexed. But I know you have a way. You have a perfect plan. You have a way out of all my problems. Help me to trust you now. Forgive me, Lord, for doing things my way. I want to do things your way. Cleanse me. Sanctify me. Now, Holy Spirit, come and help me to understand how to give my body and my life as a sacrifice that you will accept. Now, let me pray for you. Father, you will accept every sacrifice this morning of everybody that's here. If we're simply willing to give up control, just give up control of our lives into your hands. That very moment you receive it, it's an act of faith that says, I will not run my own life anymore. Lord, I put my life in your hands under your full control. Hallelujah.